amen, amen. How is everybody? Great, awesome, wonderful. I'm wore out. As probably most of y'all know, the candle's burning on both ends. And I got word a while ago that that needs to stop, Shelby. Thank you for being a motherly advice. So it's really good to see y'all, really honored to be here. I got an old friend here. It's good to see you, Brett. I grew up with Brett, so it's always cool to, you know, see guys that you grew up with in the congregation. That's just really neat about living in this community. Also, it's just want to let y'all know, it's just been a blessing to be here. I mean, really, for me and my wife, it's just been a blessing. So many of y'all have been so kind and generous to help us to be really involved in our life, and it just means the world to us. I never would have thought it would have been like this in a Baptist church. I really wouldn't have, but I mean, it's just amazing. All the prayers and the consistency, and you know, one of the biggest things that we fail in that is being intentional. And I've seen a lot of that. And so y'all just know that, you know, good works is being seen the way you're loving our family. So we thank y'all for that. I hope you have your Bible because you're going to need it today. I have prepared a message that I feel God has laid heavy on my heart whenever Pastor told me or asked me to preach. And we're going to begin today in Proverbs 11:30. Now, we just got two scripture verses that I'm going to teach out of. I got some scripture verses on the slide that we're just going to read off the slide. But just two specific verses that I'm going to teach out of. And that's going to be in Proverbs. And then the main verse that I'm going to teach out of is going to be in John 15. If you want to mark that, then you can. But right now, we're going to be in Proverbs 11:30. So this message is out, this, as y'all are getting where you need to be, this message is, it's for us, but I feel so convicted in my own life that this is an area that I lack. And so building this sermon and praying and asking God to give me clarity and to reveal things to me was really, honestly, revitalizing in my own heart, because I saw weaknesses that I had that I, in order for me to be able to truly live out what God has ordained me to preach, then there's some stuff in my life that I'm going to have to be willing to let go. And you realize that in order for there to be change, you have to let Christ change you. I don't know how many of you have tried to change yourself and it just does not work. I guess for me it don't, but I know with Christ, then we can be changed. So let's begin. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. So the topic that I have today is a fruit bearer. Y'all look at this image, and what do you see? You see a tree. You see that it's beautiful. It looks probably, what, like a fall tree maybe? With the leaves being at the colors they are. And then you see the sun shining through. So when I look at this, I want y'all to look at it from a spiritual aspect. When you look at that, can you see the spiritual things in your own life? Is that what you look like? Me? Man, when I saw this, I'm like, no. I kind of got some branches falling off. My leaves are hitting the ground every second of the day. But Christ is still shining on me. Man, so that's what I see. I'm breaking it apart spiritually. That's what God is constantly, no matter where we're at in our life, just shining that light, just saying, come home, Shelby. Come home, Shelby. Come home. You've already received salvation. Just come home to me completely. Completely surrender. Completely die to yourself. Me and David was talking about that last night, how important it is to die to ourselves. Because if we don't die to ourselves, how can we do what Solomon said here? How can we look like a tree of life? I mean, that's beautiful, y'all. How can we look like a tree of life? Notice this, that a righteous life will produce fruit that captures souls. A righteous life will produce fruit that captures souls. That is extremely important to understand. So without Christ, we're what? We're not righteous. But with Christ, He claims us as righteous, right? So we can walk around broken, because we are broken because of our fallen nature, but we can also walk around bold. So we're broken, but we're bold about being in Christ. We're bold about, yes, we have righteousness that lives inside of us. So when I look at this scripture and I just start digesting it, and what God has showed me is the fruit of the righteous is what's going to capture souls. And I want y'all to ask yourselves this morning, are you that tree of life in your home, in your community, in your church, in your workplace? Me, not the way I should be. Think about this. What an unspeakable privilege it is to be used of God in doing a work in humans' lives that will result in eternal blessings. Eternal blessings. Do y'all understand that? Eternal blessings. So we have a privilege to do work for Christ that will result in an eternal blessing. Not just for ourselves. Y'all realize this ain't just for us. So this message today is really, it's not for the unbeliever. It's for the believer. So if you're here this morning and you're a guest, we welcome you with open arms. And if you're a believer, we welcome you. And if you're an unbeliever, we still welcome you. We still love you. This message, though, is pertaining to a born-again believer. And I pray that y'all will allow this to soak in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Excuse me. Father, I just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for what you've revealed to me about this word and really just how it's cut me wide open. God, I pray that you would just remove me from this room. God, that you speak through me. God, that the hearts of believers will open up and the hearts of unbelievers will open up to you. God, that you'll just show up in a mighty way today to do a mighty work in our lives. God, that you'll just keep us at your feet. Keep washing your feet. Just keep us down there. Keep us living a life of humility and the fruits of the Spirit, Father. Help us in those areas that we fall short. And God, we just lift your name up above all names. Do your work this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at a bearer. Since our topic is fruit bearer, what is a bearer? Anybody here that farms probably understands or has a garden, a fruit bearer. Take away fruit, just put bearer. A bearer is a plant that is yielding fruit. Then let's look at the word fruit from a spiritual aspect. Fruit from a spiritual aspect is this, is the image for good results in the life of a believer. So, are you a fruit bearer or are you a non-fruit bearer? Are you a plant that's yielding fruit? Are you a plant that's yielding no fruit? In my study in this, I found that over 100 verses in the Bible talk about bearing fruit. Over 100 verses in Scripture talk about bearing fruit. Go to slide, next slide. So, a non-fruit bearer. What does that look like, y'all? Dead tree. Who's still shining on it, though? Jesus, man, think about it. I'm telling you what an image can do to you if you just look at it through the spiritual lens. Get rid of your worldly thoughts and just look at it through a spiritual lens. I see a broken man or a broken woman that God has not quit shining on. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you didn't look like the other tree. Maybe you today, including myself, because as I told y'all, this message is for me, look like that tree. Who wants to look like that tree? Any of us? Think about it like this. Do we look like the other tree on the outside, but on the inside we look like this tree? That's hard. Because sometimes, yes, we look like we got it all together. Like yesterday, I probably looked like I had it all together with the big trailer and the crawfish cookers and all that, and every 3 minutes something broke down. Thank you, Richard, for being there. Because I would have been in a bind if you wouldn't have. Turn to John 15 for me, please. John 15, 1 through 11. This is going to be the text that I teach out of. Y'all just remember these two images as we go through this. My prayer today is that some of us get real with ourselves and we get real with God. God's doing something in this church. I don't know if you see it. I think if Ray Charles was here, he could see it. Seriously. I mean, we've had salvation after salvation after salvation after salvation in the past 7 days. We've had people commit their life to Christ, recommit their life to Christ. And we've had people that have been in the church for 20, 30 years get saved. Do y'all understand what God is doing? This is something worthy of praise. God's moving in this church. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about in the lives of y'all. God is moving. But for us to continue to move, I believe that we must look like this. John 15, 1 through 11 is what I'm going to teach out of. And we'll start in John 15, 1. I'm going to read through, and then we're going to go and digest the Scripture. No evangelistic message today, y'all. We're here to learn. If you got a pen and paper, you're the lucky one. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Pay attention to this, because you're going to see this over and over and over. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Each person in here is a branch. Considering the context, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. We see this again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He said, so prove to be my disciples. You understand? We must prove to be disciples. We think that we get saved and we now have this eternal life and we just walk around redeemed, yes, but dead in a sense, because we're not living the way God has called us to live. And he just said, hey, you need to prove that you're mine. Think about it. Prove that you're mine. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. We see it again. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. Well, hey, there we go. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Wow. What a powerful, powerful verse. Does this hit home with anybody? I mean, does this just stir your heart? Does this just make you check yourself? I know for me it does. And look, go back to the beginning and look at this. I am the true vine. So Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. So that means he is the perfect fulfillment that will never abandon a believer. He's the perfect fulfillment that will never abandon us. Never. I do not believe, you know, Pastor Marvin said last week, it's not once saved, it's if once saved, always saved. It's if saved, always saved. If saved. And that's something you must know. Know that he is the true vine, that he is the perfect fulfillment. He will never abandon you because guess what? Jesus does not have to go back to the cross. He already did. He does not have to go back. So when you commit a sin, he does not have to go back and die for that sin. You just got to be willing enough to repent. Does everybody understand that? If I was in a Pentecostal church, they'd be, yeah, woo, you ain't lying. I understand it. I'm free. His living energy, his spiritual reality would continue to nourish and sustain them just as the roots and trunk of a grapevine produce the energy that nourishes and sustains its branches while they develop their fruit. So think about it like that, y'all. Christ is living energy. Can you say it? There's a spiritual reality that Christ now lives inside of us. And if we're in Christ and we're abiding in Christ, he's always going to be nourishing us. He's going to be there to sustain us. This is beautiful. I mean, why would we think that he would take care of the plant, nourish it and sustain it, but he won't take care of his own children? That's crazy. Look at this. It says, and my Father is the vine dresser. So a vine dresser is someone that cultivates and prunes the plant. So Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine, but my daddy is the vine dresser. He's going to cultivate you and he's going to prune you. Are you at the point in your life, church, that you're allowing God to cultivate you and to prune you? Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. There you go. That it may bear more fruit. If you're not a genuine believer, God's going to remove you. That's hard to say, and I know folks don't like to hear that. If you're not a genuine believer, then God's going to remove you. In context, this is what he's saying. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So if you're not in Christ, guess what? You cannot bear spiritual fruit. You can't. You may be able to do good things, but good things don't get you to heaven. So he's talking about a believer. He's talking to his disciples here, y'all. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Who's he? He takes away. He didn't say I, because we just realized that the vine dresser is cultivating. The vine dresser is pruning. Daddy's taking care of business. You know what I mean? And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So if you're not in Christ and you're bearing fruit, you're just bearing fruit that really, it's good that you're doing it, but it's not good enough to get you into heaven. You must come into Christ and then bear spiritual fruit. Because if you don't, you will not spend eternity with Daddy and Jesus. And this is what he's talking about. When he says that I will take you away, he's saying, I can't do nothing with you because you haven't given your life to me. You keep denying me. You keep running from me. You've been in church for 30 years and you believe that you're saved because your grandpa was the pastor. He's going to take you away. Go to verse 3. Already you are clean. So, it's just, man, Jesus' words are powerful. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So he just told his disciples, hey guys, y'all are clean because of the word I had spoken to you. So this is talking about salvation. When they got saved, they were clean, right? Well, when we got saved, we got cleaned. Do y'all believe that? I mean, that's something to jump up about. Summer, will you jump up? You're clean. That is beautiful. But guess what? There's still a process that follows that. Yes, you're initially clean. 1 John 1:9, I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I will remove your unrighteousness. But after that, there has to be a life of obedience. And this is what this is talking about. Already you are clean. I saved you. I cleaned you because of the word that I spoke. We know 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, right? And it's profitable. It's going to convict you. It's going to chastise you. It's going to lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. But you have to be in it. Next verse. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So think about this. If you're clean, that means he's removed all the mildew and the fungus, right? At that initial salvation moment. So if you're someone that grows plants and you don't clean your vines, what happens to it? Has anybody ever done that before? It gets dirty, right? And over time it gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. So how is that vine going to produce beautiful fruit like that first tree we saw? Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Christians must be cleansed from worldly things. We must be cleansed from worldly things. And we do that by abiding in Him so that He can abide in us. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is powerful stuff, y'all. A Christian's position is in Christ. Your position really is not that you're a track hoe operator or a computer engineer or a mechanic. That's not your position. Your position is in Christ. Are you claiming that? Are you being bold about that? Does people see that in your life? Do you realize as your student pastor and Pastor Marvin, as your senior pastor, we can get up here and we could preach until Jesus comes back, which that's what we're going to do. But it will never compare to the life that you lived bearing fruit. Never. We could preach thousands of sermons and it will not produce more fruit than the life that you live. Because one act of obedience, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it, one act, just one act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. And the life that you live is better than any sermon. It's not that we need to hear another sermon, church. It's that we must fall on our face and give our life to God. Not just for salvation, but for everything else that follows along salvation. Joy, the fruits of the Spirit, all that stuff. It's time that we quit playing church. And we start bearing fruit. That's why I'm so convicted with myself. Because now that I'm in a church setting, you know, and the candle's burning here and the candle's burning here. And this message is just as powerful for me as it is for anybody that it's really convicting right now. Shelby needs to quit playing church. And so do all of us. Why? Why play church? Why put your good-looking boots on and your starched jeans and just show up? Because I'm not showing up for entertainment. I'm showing up to hear a word. That's why I'm here this morning. Because God has given us a word. What are we going to do with this word? If we leave this building and we don't abide in Him, there will be no fruit produced. Right? A Christian's position is in Christ. Therefore, we are to continue every day, church. We are continue to imitate Christ. Think about it. Imitate Christ every day. If we imitate Christ every day, will we produce fruit? You better believe it. Justice, I'm spitting. You better watch out. How do we do that? How do we imitate Christ? We walk with Him. How do we walk with Him? We walk with Him through trust in Him. We walk with Him through prayer, right? We walk with Him through obedience. That's a hard one because we got to discipline ourselves to be obedient. I call it the big D word in my house. We got to walk through Him with joy. Long-suffering, right? Matthew 16:24. You know, deny yourself, take up your cross. Take up your cross simply means this. Be willing to suffer for Christ. Because if you suffer for Him, I promise you there will be fruit because of that. It says, and I and you, we should all safeguard our relationship with Christ. So Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, so that He will continue to abide in us fully. He said it. Think about this, y'all. Don't miss it. I know this is a lot of abiding and going back and forth. But He says, if you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. So Jesus is telling you, hey, get excited because guess what? I'm fixing to do things that you never could fathom. I'm fixing to move mountains for you. I'm fixing to bless you. Amen. The only way believers, and this is a quote from William MacDonald, the only way believers can bear the fruit of a Christ-like character is living in touch with Christ moment by moment. I'm telling you, I'm about to start crying because this is tough. Are you living with Christ, in touch, imitating Him, walking with joy, trust, obedience, and prayer moment by moment? Thank you for convicting me. Lord, I repent in front of my brethren. No, not the way I should be. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm not the vine. You are the vine, and I am the branches. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A vine branch has one great purpose, y'all. Somebody tell it to me. To bear what? If you plant a vine in your backyard and it don't bear fruit, what are you going to do with it? You're going to do the same thing Jesus said, right? You're going to get rid of it. You're going to throw it away. Without Christ, we cannot produce spiritual fruit. This is what we're talking about here. This is what God's talking about. Spiritual fruit. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Is that not just stir something up in you like, man. You know, when I was studying this for so many years, y'all, I took Scripture out of context and still catch myself doing it. But I want y'all to know something. This isn't talking about salvation. It's not. I have studied this and studied this and studied this. And some people believe that it is. But more people believe, and I'm talking about scholars and theologians that have studied the Word more than any of us ever have, is that salvation is not at hand here. This is what I've come to the conclusion through my study, is that through carelessness and prayerlessness, a believer can get out of touch with God. Through carelessness and prayerlessness, a believer can get out of touch with the Lord. And as a result of this, his testimony is ruined. I found this that I want to read to y'all that's pertaining to this. Listen, if you're asleep, wake up. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. It is not God who does it, but people. God doesn't throw us out. We throw ourselves out. What does this mean? It means that people scoff at this backsliding Christian. People scoff at us Christians when we backslide like this. They drag our name in the mud. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of Shelby's name being dragged in the mud. Who else is tired of their name being dragged in the mud? If not, then, I mean, there's something wrong. They throw our testimony of being a Christian into the fire. This is well illustrated in the life of David. He was a true believer, but he became carelessness. Y'all remember that? He became carelessness toward the Lord, and he committed the sins of adultery and murder. He caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Even today, atheists ridicule the name of David and of David's God. They cast him, as it were, into the fire. So what, this blew my mind, y'all. I mean, literally, this is new revelation to me over the past week of studying this. He's saying, hey, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. He's saying, you that are an unbeliever, if you don't receive me, then I'm throwing you away. If you don't abide in me, because abiding means this, y'all. It means to stay in a place for a really long time. So an unbeliever can't stay with Christ because he's outside of Christ. So if we're in Christ, we're with Christ. He's just reiterating to us, abide, abide, abide. And it says, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. Y'all realize it's the community that's throwing us into the fire because we're backsliding. Listen, I'm telling you, we're backsliding if we're not bearing fruit. They don't want to hear nothing from us. They don't want to listen to us. They ain't got nothing for us if we look like this. Go to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If God's people truly abide in Jesus, they will desire what he desires and pray according to his will. That's what that verse means. Don't sit here and be like, okay, Jesus, I want a Lamborghini because I led somebody to Jesus yesterday. I want a big house because 30 people got saved in my church last year. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that God's people that truly abide in me will desire what I desire and pray according to his word. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now that's really neat. He brings his Father into the equation. My heavenly daddy. Some of you here, you may have a terrible earthly daddy, but just know that you got a heavenly daddy that's just waiting to love you, to wrap his arms around you, and to greet you with a holy kiss. Right, Brother Gary? God is also glorified by Christians when they bear much fruit. That's what that's saying. That God, our heavenly Father, is glorified when we bear much fruit. Go to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Y'all know what the greatest commandment is. What is it? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. We should continue to daily realize God's love for us and live in that love. Are you living in that love? I'm not every day, but I should be. So should you. Last two verses, and we're almost done. Brother David, he said, man, we sure have been getting the word the past few weeks. We ain't been catching no slack from pastor. And I was just thinking to myself, because I didn't tell him everything I was preaching. I said, man, I'm not helping the situation out at all. I'm not helping it out at all. Man, it's just what God's laid on me, y'all. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We abide in his love by keeping his commandments. And we follow Jesus' example of obeying his Father daily. Go to the next slide, brother.
Good fruit. John 15:16 and Ephesians 2:10. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You get that? He chose you. He appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. My students, y'all have heard me say this over and over and over. You are uniquely, you are wonderfully and beautifully made. You understand? There is nothing that you cannot do in Christ. You were created to be His workmanship. What is a workmanship? It sure ain't somebody that don't produce no fruit. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm talking about spiritual works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's time that we start walking in them, church. You know how many people live in this community? Think about it. If we walk in them and we bear fruit, we'll have to tear this down and build a whole new church. There's that many people in this community. I know some of you are like, we ain't tearing this down. My name's underneath the pew. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. If God tells us to do it, hey, I believe we're going to do it, right? Let's go to the next slide. Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh, this is powerful because He's talking to me. And Summer's like, you ain't lying, Shelby, because you don't walk in a manner like you should. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, you get it? Bearing fruit in every good work, in every spiritual work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Solomon was wise. He wrote that in the Old Testament, Proverbs 11:30. He said you will capture souls if you live a righteous life. You will capture souls. James 3:17, my favorite book in the Bible. But the wisdom from above is first pure. You understand that everything from God is pure. It is holy. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. Yeah, anybody ever, I mean, you feel it? He's full of mercy, isn't he? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And good fruits, impartial and sincere. You better believe it. Jesus is sincere. Go to the next slide. Bad fruit. Uh-oh, here we are. Matthew 3:10. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. No amens on that one. Matthew 7:17-19. So every healthy tree that bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Go to the next slide. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Hey, He's given you a chance, church. Either make it good or keep making it bad. Just keep making it worse. Make your choice. Shelby, make your choice. Matthew 21:19. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, He went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And He said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When I get to heaven, I don't want Jesus to say, you remember that chance? 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 And the list goes on. I don't want Him to say that to me. And I sure don't want Him to say that to the brother that's unsaved. Because that's what He's going to say. He's going to say, may no fruit ever come from you. Go to the next slide. This is what a fruit bearer looks like. Love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If you have a desire to be obedient, if you have a desire
to live for Christ, if you have a desire to throw away religious Pharisee hogwash, if you have a desire to be who God has called you to be, if you have a desire to quit living of the world and to live with Christ, in Christ, through Christ, then this is the key to living that life. I'm going to read this last verse. Just keep that slide up there. Some of us need to see that again. I'm taking donations for a new Bible, if anybody. That's so old and worn out. I know, but it's man, look, it's falling apart. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which is something we all need to work on. Against such thing there is no law. Church, I don't know about y'all, but this is where the meat's at. This is where the meat's at. I'm tired of drinking milk. I'm tired of drinking crawfish bowl. I'm ready to eat that meat. I'm ready to experience love and peace and self-control and goodness and just everything that is produced from that vine that is just waiting on us to surrender. I don't know where you're at in your life. Only you know. I don't know where your heart's at. But I pray that today, this moment, right now, whatever business that you need to do, that you'll do it with God. That you'll come to the altar or stay in your seat. I'll be down here. You can pray with me or you can just pray to God. I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I think God just wants you to do what's right. I just think He wants you to surrender. I just think that He wants you to quit living for yourself. I think He wants you to quit playing church. But let's take this time to do business with God.